In Galatians chapter 3, basically this whole book is dealing with the difference in living according to the old covenant, living according to the works of the law, and we'll talk about what that means here in just a little bit, versus living according to faith or living by faith. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And so we get to live a life of faith. Which is a great name for a church, right? Because the righteous live a life of faith. And so this is what this is talking about. And so Paul was dealing with a new church or a group of churches that they started off living by faith. And then they ended up, you know, kind of being told, well, you also have to keep all of these commandments as well. And so there was a lot of confusion during this time, because you have to understand, Christianity was just brand new. This is something that had never been heard before. But unfortunately, even as we've had the word for 2,000 years, it is still an issue today in our churches. It's still an issue today in people's lives that they feel like that they've got to do something to gain God's favor or to gain God's blessing in their life. And so Paul is dealing with that. And most of our churches still deal with our performance and not with our identity and who God created us to be. And the Bible says that we are to put on the new man, which was created in holiness and righteousness, that we're to put that on. That's the thinking that we're supposed to have, and that's being renewed in our mind. So here in verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, and we dealt with this last week, but I just want to set this up as we go further. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You've stopped living your life according to truth. You've stopped being fully persuaded by what is true, before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only would I learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? In other words, did you receive the Spirit because you did enough good that God looked at you and said, boom, you get the Spirit? And do you know, speaking of that point, that the early Pentecostal movement had this mindset that, you know, that I've got to, after I'm born again, then I've got to get sanctified, and that's a process. And then after that, I'll be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And so they would tarry. They would pray. They would pray for hours and hours and days and days. And some people I've read where they prayed 7 hours a day for months, you know, to receive the Holy Ghost. God, please send it to me. That was in the 1900s, early 1900s, that this happened. And this is the only way they knew to receive the Holy Ghost. And so by their much praying and by their much sanctification, that was going to be the thing that triggered this glorious moment when they would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And finally they did. But I think it's because they finally just got so tired of all the praying and everything, they just say, God, I don't know what else to do. And they received it. Because the Bible says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, not to those who beg Him, not to those who just pray day in, day out, day in and day out. See how we've even allowed into our Pentecostal charismatic thinking that, man, I've got to do this. Man, I got to fast more. Oh, I got to pray more. Oh, I got to, you know, and so we still tend to look at that the reason why we're not healed, the reason why we're not blessed, or the reason is because of something that we're doing. And we're still looking at our performance. It's still very prevalent in our churches today. So this particularly, this isn't for just a time back 2,000 years ago. This is for us right now. He said, so did you receive the Spirit by your works, by the works of the law, or did you hear it, or by the hearing of faith? In other words, did you just believe? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, Jesus saved you. You begun where the Spirit caused you to be born again. But from there, you say, I got this, Lord. I'm going to go on to perfection, and I'm going to do it with my own effort. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and working miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we talked about that last week. And let me just say it this way. You can look at the super duper ministers. We call them super dupers. You can look at the, you know, the ones that you see that they get to minister to multitudes and they to big crowds and you see the healings or you see the fruits of their ministry. And a lot of times we look at that and say, man, what did they do to get so anointed? What did they do to be able to heal the sick that way? What are they doing? Man, their relationship with God must be out of this world. I could never be like that. I could never devote the kind of time that they do, you know, to fasting and praying. And so we create a separation in our mind. Can I tell you, I've had the privilege, you know, over, you know, the last 30 or 40 years of knowing some of the lifestyles of some of the super dupers back during that day. And it did not produce in me this awe that, oh my gosh, they are a super duper anointed holy. It actually produced in me like, what in the world? Here I am living my life, you know, according to what I'm hearing some of them teach. But yet I hear some, I see some of them not living the life, you know, and not anybody that's present or anybody that we currently, I'm just talking about, I've seen anointed men of God and sometimes, you know, not living the life. And the reason is because it really confused me for a long time. It really confused me. It really bothered me. I felt like your lifestyle determined your level of anointing. And it doesn't, because we don't have a little Jesus on the inside of us, because we don't have partial anointing. We don't have a smaller measure than what Jesus did, that Jesus is in us, that we've received his Spirit, and God gives his Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. And that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God isn't looking for somebody who's doing everything right and living life the right way. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, okay, you can heal the sick and just go out and keep sinning. That's not what we're talking about. Because here's the thing, as you're walking with Jesus and as you experience the life of God, it produces in you right living. Right believing produces in you right living. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if your right living is a prerequisite for being anointed, then now you're doing it based on your own performance and you're trying to receive the Spirit and his gift based on what you do. And that's what this scripture is talking about. He says, he that works miracles among you. He that ministers the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it? Now, he's also talking about God here. God ministers the Spirit to us. And all of that happens not through the works of law. Jesus didn't, or God didn't say, do this, this, and this, and you're going to be able to do it, or by the hearing of faith. Now, let's get into the meat of this thing. Verse 6. Even as Abraham, he's moving us to a place. I want you to notice he's taking us way back. Before the law, before Moses, before what Moses said, the Ten Commandments, all of that, that we learn as children in Sunday school class, he took us all the way back. He says, let's go beyond that. Let's go before that. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So know ye therefore, get this, know ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They which receive by faith. Now, what's he talking about? Well, in Genesis, hold your finger here. In Genesis chapter, I want to look at three scriptures very quickly to set this up. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said in verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. This is to Abram. I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you. Man, it's always good when God's going to do the blessing. Amen. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families of the earth be blessed. This is an amazing promise. We don't see anywhere that Abraham did anything to deserve this. God just showed up and said, I'm going to bless you, and all I need you to do is to go out to a place. Just walk with me. I'm going to cut a covenant with you. And so you find out in chapter 13 that Abraham, verse 1, went up out of Egypt. And then in verse 2, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So I think that God held up his end of the bargain. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. His company, his assets multiplied because of the blessing of God that was on him. Praise God. I don't have time to go through all of that, but then I want you to go over to chapter 15 here. In verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, now, after these things, what things? What had just happened is he had gone down, he had gotten in a battle, he had delivered Lot from and all of this city that had been taken captive. He was so blessed that he took his men, fought this army, got all the people back, and in the process, he would not even take any of the wealth from the king himself, but said, I have lifted up my hand to God, possessor of heaven and earth. I mean, in other words, he said, he's the one that's made me rich. I will not let anybody else say that. I'm trusting in God and God alone. And after that, I mean, Abraham showed his trust even in that situation. God said to him, fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. In other words, Abraham said, God, I'm trusting you. You're the possessor of heaven and earth, and I am not going to look to other men to make me rich. And so God says, is that the way you see me? That's the way I am. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. The Amplified says, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. Why? Because of Abraham's obedience? No, because of Abraham's faith. Because of his trust. Hallelujah. Abraham said, Lord God, what are you going to give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? See, he didn't know how God was going to produce, how he was going to bless all the families of the earth. And he had no heir. And so behold, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir. And he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And then he brought him forth. He brought him forth and said, look now towards heaven. Look at the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. So shall your descendants, so shall your seed be. And the very next verse says, he believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Again, in no place was it said, Abraham, because you have done right, Abraham, because of what you've done. It was simply because he believed. God said it. That settles it. And I'm going to believe it in my life, and that settles it in my life too. See? Now, let's go back over to Galatians. So that's why in verse 6 here, even as Abraham believed God. So what we're getting here is that your acceptance, your standing with God. Is God pleased with you? Is God, you know, or is God angry with you? Is God upset with you? Do you see yourself as disappointing God? Are you a disappointment to God? And a lot of times people live their lives f- feeling like that they've disappointed God and that he is just not, he's not pleased. And so what he's talking about, when he's talking about righteousness, he's talking about your standing with God. See? And so for Abraham just to simply believe, and he's not even born again, but yet in the ledger of heaven, in the accounting books of heaven, God said, psh, righteousness, righteous, you're righteous, you believe me, you trust me. That's all that God's ever wanted out of his children, is simple trust. Simple trust. You know, my son, my children, they're adults now. You know, the thing that I want more than anything else from them is not, as adult children, their obedience to me. That's, they're on their own. What do I want from them? I want relationship. I want trust. What would you say? I want grandchildren. Praise God. I heard that from the Holy Ghost.
Hey, Olivia's here.
Olivia knows she's in it. No, you know, it'll happen. It's all going to happen. So I'm not worried about that. But what we want, just relationship. Like when we were able to take this 10-day trip just last week, you know, and just spend time together as a family. You know, it wasn't about, you know, well, you know, measure up. You need to measure up. We didn't go that. We just wanted relationship. And so in my eyes, and in every parent's eyes, you know, that baby that's crying and, you know, that's pooping and all that kind of stuff, the mother doesn't look at it that way. Isn't this the most precious thing? No, it's the stinky thing. But you know, everybody else may say, but we look over that. Why? Because it's the love. It's about that relationship. We see them completely different. Well, it's the same thing with our Father God. You know, he looks over the poopy diapers of our life. And says, I love you. Isn't she precious? Isn't she awesome? It is true. Some of y'all thinking about that. Can I say that? Yeah, you can. It's true. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Look at this, verse 7. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith are the same of the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing, the scripture being that living scripture, that prophetic word that opens up what's going to happen down the road, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that God would justify the unbelievers through faith, the sinners through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying that in you, and now he's talking about Jesus.
That's right.
In you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now, in other words, the scripture, God himself preached to Abraham the gospel. And so you can take from that one phrase what the gospel is. That in Jesus, in one seed, in one person that would come out of him, that one descendant, and in that one descendant, all the nations, all the world would be blessed. The gospel is Jesus. Amen. The gospel is what he has made available to us. The gospel isn't how we live our life. The gospel isn't what we do. The gospel is what Jesus did.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! Man. You're about to get me to run in here in just a second.
I'm right behind.
So then, and so that's the gospel. So then they, now this is very important. So then they, which are of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham.
That's me.
Is that you?
That's me.
All right, now we got to define something here. Okay? We got to get this right.
Come on.
Because we can take this scripture and we can really dumb it down and really try to bring it down to our level and say, well, yes, praise God. I'm just blessed because I'm saved. And I'm just blessed along with faithful Abraham and not even realize what we're saying. Because we can't define this term with our small-minded thinking. What term? We can't, the word blessed. All right, now get this. We can't define that term, that word, based on the way that our culture, just take off. You might as well just go, Jeff. Yeah. We can't use a natural definition to determine because man wasn't the one that came up with this word. Man wasn't the one that came up with this concept. God came to Abram and God said, I will bless you. God determines what the word blessing means. See, and this is where a lot of times we'll fall far short of what God has for each and every one of us because we won't let God define what the Word says and we'll try to use our own human reasoning to define it.
That's right. Amen.
See. So if I want to know if the Bible says I'm going to be blessed along with faithful Abraham who believed God, Abraham who trusted God to the point that it was evident in his life and he walked out into the place God said to go because he believed God.
Yeah.
He didn't go out to be blessed. He went out because he trusted God.
Amen.
You got to get that. You live the life that you live because you trust God, not because you're trying to get God to bless you. And so because he knew that he was already blessed, we find the evidence of that blessing in a number of different ways. We find it there in chapter 13 where it says he was rich. God's definition of being blessed is to be rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Oh, no, I don't like to talk about being rich and stuff like that. Because, you know, people just, you know, people are greedy and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I told y'all a week or two ago, I'm through trying to, you know, mince words and trying to, you know, figure out how to, you know, let me just say it.
That's right.
Okay? Somebody say, say it.
Say it.
Not wanting to be blessed above what is enough for you and your family is a selfish attitude.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
That's right.
Because what that means is God just give me enough and no more and I'll use it for me and I'll use it for my kids and that's all I want from you. What about the rest of the world?
That's right.
God said, I have blessed you to be a blessing. And the more that you're blessed, the more you can be a blessing.
Amen.
And the more, listen, the more that this world looks to people that are blessed, looks to people that have it going on, looks to people that carry themselves as if you know they got something, looks to those that are wealthy, looks to those that know who they are, and you know this world looks to people like that. It's just human nature. And so if you want to increase your influence in this world for the kingdom of God, man, don't just say, well, God, I thank you for just supplying my needs. Just give me enough for my needs. No, God says he'll supply it according to his riches.
Yes.
He's not supplying it according to your need.
That's right.
He's looking for somebody that's willing to believe this. Mm-hmm. Not only that, all right, let's keep defining this word blessed because it's not just about money.
That's right.
Okay, the money is just it's an indicator in the natural that you're blessed. But there's more to it than that. He goes in to a situation where a king took his wife, mm-hmm. And Abraham was kind of complicit in that because he was afraid for his life. And so in the middle of all of that, and this happened twice in Abraham's life, God shows up to the king. And now the king did it out of the integrity of his heart. The king, he didn't know no better. He thought that this was Abraham's sister. But God shows up to the king, says, "You're about to mess with my covenant friend's wife. And if you don't rectify the situation, I'm going to shut up the wounds of everybody." That was in one instance. In other words, what does blessed also mean? Protection. That you've got the Creator, your Father God, right there with you, taking care of you, watching over you, staying there with you, that anybody that comes against you, that's why Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says that that God said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never relax my hold on you." And so he goes on to say in verse 6, "So I'll boldly say, what shall I fear that man would do unto me? Because the Lord is my help." Woo!
Come on.
So when it says that we're blessed, all because I trust, I believe what Jesus did, that I am in Him, and now I'm in the kingdom, and now the blessing that's available to me and that's being poured out in my life is unending. See? Ah, oh, man. I mean, you just have to meditate on that all week long. To start trying, because your natural mind is going to want to, it's going to want to reject that. It's going to want to, I'd be okay if my income just increases a little bit. Boy, don't you see? I got $1,000 raise a year. Man, God really blessed me. Really? Hey, we're thankful for it.
Amen.
We're thankful for what we have. We're thankful for what God, but we're saying, God, thank you. That because of what Jesus did, I'm blessed. Amen. Along with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
And he says he'll increase you more and more. You and your children. Yeah. That blessing also gets off of you and it gets on your children and your kids as well. I mean, oh man, this is just, it's just too good to be true, but it is true.
Amen.
So we just better believe it. Amen. Now, so then they which are of faith, verse 9, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now we're about to get into something that I need you to pay very close attention to. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I first of all want to draw your attention to something that you're going to see over and over again. And we're going to get into some of this on Sunday morning as I begin to start teaching about the word of the kingdom. Okay? But I want you to pay close attention to particularly Paul's letters to Romans and here to the Galatians. You're going to see arguments being made not based on what God has revealed to him. That's not the evidence. He uses the argument based on what's in the Word.
That's right.
God, yes, revealed the gospel of grace to him. But he didn't go just on that and saying, you know, I've got a new theology and a new doctrine for you because God revealed it to me. Even though he does talk about that in Galatians chapter 1. As he's making this doctrinal, life-changing argument, he is using the Word of God. And the only word he had at that time was the Old Covenant. And he saw where the Old Covenant pointed to Jesus.
That's right.
Now, why is that important? Why am I saying that to you? Because we have got to stop following every wind of doctrine, and we've got to stop following every spiritual thing that sounds right and sounds good, and we've got to go back to the Word of God, and we've got to say, my life is going to be governed by the Word of God. This is true because of what the Word says.
That's right.
And if And if Paul had to use Old Testament scripture to unveil New Testament truth, how much more us to make sure that our lives are governed by the Word of God? Now, that's just a side note as we get into some things on Sunday morning. Okay? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written. He says, so this is the reason why I know this is true. Now, what's the significance of this verse? And we're going to start seeing this theme over the next couple of weeks as we get through some things. The significance of this verse and the next couple that I'm about to read is that you can live your life as a believer and still be affected by the curse. And what do I mean by that? Let me rephrase. You can live your life being a Christian and still be under the curse. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound that. I thought Jesus came to redeem you. Well, he did. But Paul is describing a condition, a situation that exists in the lives of people today, that where instead of just receiving freely what Jesus has done, they have now lived their life. They've gone back. And again, we do this in our churches. We teach 10 commandments. We teach this. You've got to do this. You've got to. And so what we're doing is we're throwing in a little law with a little grace. And that's called mixture. And you're mixing the two together because it's the Bible, and so it must be true for me. No, you better rightly divide the word of truth is what the Bible says. See, and so you start setting up conditions for your blessing. You start setting up how you're supposed to live your life. You start setting up, you know, rules and regulations so that God will bless you, you know, and you'll find Old Testament scriptures that and say, oh, I need to do that, and start looking at law. And as soon as you decide that what you do will determine your blessing, then you have just moved under a law mindset and you have just put yourself in a position for the curse to become to begin to operate in your life. Wow, it's awfully quiet in here.
Amen.
And so we have churches full of miserable Christians that one thing after another continues to go bad in their life, and they can't figure it out. And so we self-identify. Okay, let's go down the list. Did I sin this week? Well, yes, I did, but I've already repented for that. And so let's check that off the list. Am I in unforgiveness? You know, because, you know, if you come to a good pastor, you know, that's trying to figure out, I mean, he's going to inspect your life. You know, and start going down the list of your dues instead of your believing. See. All right. So, you know, I like using Wendy as an example. So, Wendy, did you sin this week? You don't have to answer that question. Wendy, are you in unforgiveness? You know, if she came to me and said, Pastor Mark, why is this not happening in my life? Okay, well, Wendy, how much time did you spend in the work this week? Well, I've been pretty busy. Well, that's probably... Wendy, did you tithe? Did you tithe Sunday morning? Did you give? Because if you didn't give, you're definitely under a curse. I mean, most pastors put that up at the top.
That's right.
They want to make sure you're giving first. Because I ain't even going to talk to you. Because I've heard pastors even say, if you're not tithing, then I'm talking to a thief because you're robbing from God.
Yep,
see? So is that the problem? Did you get angry at somebody this week? Was that it? Well, what's your praise life like? I mean, are you praising the Lord? Well, you got to be praying. How about your prayer life? Okay, are you praying in the Spirit? You see, we can keep going down the list. Are you in strife? You know, we can self-inspect until finally Wendy says, well, no, I haven't done. Well, then that's your problem. That's the problem. See, we can take a microscope into everybody's life, and guess what? I'm going to find a problem. Y'all can take a microscope and put it into my life, and not ever, I mean, you would find a problem. Just having some fun. No, I mean,
that's right. That's what they do.
But see, when we start, when we live our life with that mindset, when we start looking that way, what we've really done, if that's what's coming out of our heart, if that's just the way that we live, that's the way we see ourselves, if that's the way we think the Christian life is going to be, then what happens is we've actually moved under a works mentality. And as soon as I move under a works mentality, then I've just opened up the door for the curse to be operating in my life. And that's, you know, it's like, wow, that's serious business. I don't want the curse. But I'm telling you, this is what Paul's talking about. For those that are living under the works of the law. And later on, he's going to tell us that you have, that Christ is no profit to you. He's going to tell you, and we're going to see this in the next few weeks, he's going to tell us where that you've fallen from grace. And if you've fallen from grace, and he's not talking about salvation, he's talking about the benefits that come out of grace.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And you've fallen from grace. And all of these different things, this is why this series and this book is so important, and why Paul would use strong words like, oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Because it's going to affect your life. For as many as are the works of the law, they are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, once you decide I'm going to live this part of my life, I want to, it needs to be according to what I do. Then now you just made yourself subject kind of to the whole thing.
That's right.
You've made yourself liable to have to start keeping everything in the law, which is all the feasts. Which is all the sacraments. It's everything. See, to maintain, because now you've said that your right standing with God is based on what you do. But that no man, verse 11, is justified by the law in the sight of God. So no man, no man, no man. Somebody say no man, no person,
no man,
no person, no man, no woman, no child can be justified by what they do. God's not pleased with you based on what you do. God's pleased with you based on what you believe. And what you believe will work its way into what you do, all right? And so that no man is justified in the law. And he says, it is evident, and he's quoting Scripture again, for the just, the righteous, shall live by faith.
Amen.
If you're going to be righteous, then you've got to live by faith, because that's the only way that righteousness comes, is from believing God. And staying in a place that I can go to God in every situation is because I believe Him and I trust what Jesus did. And so it says here that the law is not of faith. Now, I'm going to kind of start bringing this to a close. Get a hold of this. If I tell you that for every dollar you give me, I'm going to give you $5 back.
Done.
Done, right? When's that start? And so, Jeff and Guy, I mean, they illustrate it perfectly. They're going to put that to the test. Here's your dollar. And then I'm going to give them $5. Jeff's going to turn right around and say, here's your $5 back. Now give me, you know, and that sort of thing. That doesn't require any faith to do that. I set the condition. Basically, all I said is, if you'll do this, then this will be the result. See? So the law that says, you know, if you'll obey my commands and if you'll do this and if you'll do that, didn't require faith. Didn't require trust on anyone. If you're saying that the way that you receive blessing from God is to do the right thing, then I don't have to believe anything. I just have to do.
Right.
And see, Jeff don't have to believe what I said. Jeff can come up to me with a dollar and say, I don't believe you're going to do that. And truly think that I'm just pulling his leg, but all he has to do is just do it. And, you know, see, so it didn't require any faith whatsoever. It just required the doing. All right, now, that's the law. And see, that's the whole point, is if we live lives inspecting ourselves and what are we doing, now we're just living based on a paycheck. All right, let me give you this one illustration, and then we'll pick up on this next week. And Paul uses this illustration in Romans chapter 4. He talks about being in debt. You know, so if you're doing something to get a blessing, you're in debt. So let me just use kind of a company situation. And let's suppose that you work for me and you're an employee. And so as an employee, you got to work for your paycheck. I'm not just going to pay you to sit around and do nothing. All right. But not only that, I can demand of you what I want. I'm demanding, Jeff, you work for me. So I'm demanding, this is what I want you to do because I'm your boss. And if you come in one day and you say, I don't want to do that, then I'll say, fine, I'll find me somebody else that wants to do it. Right. And I'll cut you loose and you can go on your merry way. And so our relationship, and so you're working for me out of debt, and you're working to get a paycheck, and you're working to get blessed, but it's all based on your performance, and it's based on what you do. Now, let's say I own a multi-million-dollar company, and so as a result, now I've got my son that's coming to work for me. Okay, now that relationship's completely different, because now we're talking about family business. See, I'm not trying to groom Jeff to take over my business. Okay, what?
Sorry, Jeff.
I'm not grooming Jeff to do that. I'm not grooming the employees to do that. Who I am grooming is my son.
All right.
And my son comes in and says, son, this is our family business. And Jeff's one of our employees. All right. But Seth, my son, wouldn't be coming in trying to work for me to earn a paycheck, trying to work for me, hoping that I don't fire him. You know, no, he understands there's a different relationship here. We're talking about family business, and now he has freedom inside that family business to find what his passion is. I'm going to give him more flexibility. I'm going to allow him to discover what part of the business he's interested in running and that sort of thing. Why? Because now he's my son. I'm thinking completely different. I'm not asking him to perform for me. I'm trying to help him get to a place that I can turn this business over to him. It's a difference between law and grace. Law is, again, trying to work for the paycheck of the blessing, trying to work for to try to get God to be pleased with me, trying to work for his acceptance, trying to work to stay in his good graces and in his good favor. And as long as I do everything that he wants me to do, and as long as I'm a good little Christian, then God's going to do good stuff for me. And so we look at it as if I'm doing it from a debt, you know, and I owe God this. And the Bible says we're sons. The Bible says we're children. And that we're about the family business. What did Jesus say at 12 years old? He said, what? Did you not know that I got to be about my Father's business? See, we have an inheritance.
Glory to God.
We have an inheritance. We have a multinational corporation that we have just inherited, that we get to be a part of. We're not trying to do this because we owe God. We get to work with God, Paul says. We get to be co-laborers with him. We get to receive everything that he has. He's given to Jesus, and we're in Jesus. So that's what makes us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so everything that he has been freely given to us, not because of what we do, but because of our birthright. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. As long as we'll stay in a place to believe, to trust, to believe and to trust. The law is not of faith. But the man that decides that he's going to do that, you're going to live in it. Which means you're going to, not only you're going to do it, but you're going to live with the consequences of it. That's why we have so many miserable Christians today.
That's right.
They can't figure it out because they've never stepped into a place of freedom and sonship. Whew. They've looked at their own performance. But the good news, and this is where we'll pick up next week, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Woo! Being made a curse for us. And again, here's the evidence. Here's the written word of God evidence. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Man, we're gonna dig into this some next week. Next week. See. But don't let a single thought of, well, I've got to do this. I've got to do this to be blessed. Remember General Akbar on Star Wars? It's a trap! It's a trap! That's that thought from the enemy. That thought from the enemy. Sneaky little devil is trying to get in there and get you to be okay with just one area of performance in your life, so that you'll open the door for the curse to be able to come in and to affect you. See? You don't want to move away from grace. You don't want to move away from what Jesus has done. You don't want to move away from living a life of faith. It's a wide open field of God's amazing grace, of His kingdom that's available to us. I wouldn't want to get out of this. I mean, seriously. So I'm going to live in a place of rest, in a place of what Jesus did, in a place, and I'm going to stop trusting in myself, and I'm going to trust in Him and say, Father, I freely receive. Remember what Romans 5:17 says? For they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Those are the ones that reign.
Amen.
Those are the ones that reign. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You. Father, we just thank You that as we go through this, as we take this apart line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that You are creating a sure foundation on the inside of us, that this will produce some stability, just this rock foundation that's founded on You, but this rock of man, everything comes as I trust in You. As I just believe You, that I live by faith. I live by faith, which means I just trust You completely. And out of my total trust and out of my total faith, Father, in what I believe, the fruits of righteousness begin to operate in my life. That the blessing and the favor, Your blessing and favor is on me simply because I'm Your child. Simply because You love me, simply because of what Jesus did. That I'm not trying to get to a place of blessing, but that I recognize right now, because You are with me, that Father, I am blessed. And everything I put my hand to prospers. And everything that I do prospers. And You surround me with favor as with a shield. That's what Your word says. And again, simply because I've been born into Your family, I've been adopted by You, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And along with Him, You've freely given me all things. And so I just, if you have the thought, yeah, but I don't deserve it. Well, that's right, you don't. And you need to accept that and then say, but Jesus did. And God determines what is true and what is righteous. And so you got to get over yourself and get over your unworthiness and get over what you think you do and don't deserve, because you don't go to God based on what you deserve. That's another thought from the enemy. That is trying to snare you, that's trying to entrap you into living a subpar life, a life that a Christian is not designed to live. So don't deal with thoughts of unworthiness. That just, you know, you gotta cast those out. You gotta say, you know what? He made me worthy. He made me righteous. He made me fit to be a partaker of the inheritance in the saints. That's what the Bible says. For it is written. Man. See, so it's not about what you deserve. It's about what Jesus did. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for that right now, that word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're not unworthy. You're not unloved. It's not about what you did that creates what you deserve. It's about what Jesus did. You are His child. And He loves you, and He is bestowing His favor and blessing on you simply because you're His child. And that's where you've got to stand. That's where you've got to stay. And look to Jesus and what He did. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. And I'm just going to say this, and some of you in the area of your finances as well. It's time to dream. It's time to think big. It's time to, I feel like that there are some of you that have limited in your thinking what God can do in your life. And then there's others of you that have accepted your current situation as that this is just the way that it's going to be, and I'm okay with this. And so because you're okay with it, you've stopped believing God for more and expecting more to come your way. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord say, dream bigger. Let me just say it this way. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord. He's saying, let me dream through you. Let me think through you. Let me take you into my dreams for you, into my desires for you. Come apart and stay with me, says the Lord. Learn from me. Think like me. See what I see for you. And stop seeing what you can do for yourself. Believe me. Trust me. Yield to that dream. Yield to my vision for your life. Yes, Lord. I just continue to hear Him say, I have said in my word that I will bless you. Give me the opportunity to prove myself strong on your behalf. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And stop looking to yourself. Lift your eyes. Look up. For your Redeemer has drawn nigh, and His name is Jesus. And look to Him. Through His poverty, you become rich. Through His curse, you are now blessed. See that exchange. And let me. Man, do you hear the cry of the Father's heart there? The issue isn't Him, isn't the desire on His part. The issue is, have we done things to limit Him? Have we limited with our small-minded thinking? Man, we've got to change that. We've got to let the Creator of all of this, our Creator, who has determined what the word blessing and what being blessed means. We got to start thinking in line with that definition in our life. Man, let's just pray that. Let's pray into that. Father, in the name of Jesus, here's what's going to happen right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Here's what's going to happen right now. Let's make a decision right now to repent for small-minded thinking, for limiting God. Okay? And repent simply means, you know, I'm going to start believing you. Father, you know, and y'all can just come, you know, just pray your own way. But Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent. I change my way of thinking. Father, I'm sorry for limiting you in my life. I'm sorry for limiting you in my thinking and not allowing you to do in my life what is in your heart to do. And so from this night forward, Father, I am a wide open field. I am wide open as your son to receive the full inheritance, the fullness of the blessing in my life, and everything that encompasses in the name of Jesus. Whatever that means and everything that's involved in that meaning and what you've determined that is, Father, I am open to it all in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. I thank you for protection. I thank you for your favor. I thank you truly for blessing every single area. But in my heart, I take the limits off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just pray right now for everybody that's here and everybody that's watching, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that Holy Spirit, help us to allow you to dream through us. Help us not shrink back or draw back from the bigness of the dream, from the bigness of the vision, from how big and how much is in your heart to do in our lives. Father, that as we're blessed, we're going to be a blessing. We'll increase in influence. And we're going to be about your business, the Father's business, kingdom business. In Jesus' name.